service already in progress as I preach and teach the Word of God. Fill me now, Lord God, with spirit anew, that I may say what you have anointed me to say, and then do what you have anointed me to do. We glorify you in the highest, for truly you're worthy to be praised. It is in Jesus' name for our sake we pray. Amen. First of all, giving unto God to my brothers and sisters in the ministry, Reverend Bale, Reverend Cotton, Reverend Weston. To you, the Antioch family, to those that are listening by Radio Paradise Ministry, to those that are watching streaming live by internet, we greet you yet again in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we have a passage of scripture that is familiar. 1 Samuel, the 17th chapter. And I won't dare read the entire 40 or 50 verses or so here. We're going to read verses 1 through about 17. And when you have found it, say amen, and we have it on our screen. Then it declares, now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle and were gathered together at Shechem, which belongeth to Judah, and pitched between Shechem and Azekah and Ephraimim. And Samuel and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mails, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass on his leg and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head like 600 shekels of iron. And one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them, why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants of Saul? Choose you a man of you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall he be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the army of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistines, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Thank you. You may be seated. And when the Philistines said, I defy the army of Israel this day, give me a man that we may fight together. Says, when Saul and all Israel heard those words, the Philistines, and they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I want to use for a topic this morning the giants in our lives. The giants in our life. I thought a little bit something, Kennedy and Ashlyn, maybe a story that maybe you heard many years ago. I know I did as a kid. As a child growing up, we were told of a story called Jack and the Beanstalk. Have y'all heard of that? Jack is a poor country boy who trades his family cow for a handful of magic beans, which grows into a massive towering beanstalk reaching up into the clouds. We're told Jack climbs the beanstalk and finds himself in the castle of an unfriendly giant. The giant senses Jack's presence and cries, this is familiar, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an English mum. As a child, this story gave many of us nightmares. And as I began to ask the question, are there truly giants here? And the answer to that question is that there were giants at one point in time here on earth. And they were called Nephilims. The story of David, my brothers and sisters, this morning could very well be our story. Here is why. There was a pre-selection of David. And we see that in 1 Samuel 16, verses 8 through 13. David, who was a keeper of his father's sheep, was selected by Samuel and anointed over his seven brothers. God had selected David. Out of all of the brothers that he had, God chose him. And what it says parenthetically is that God chooses whom he desire to be over sheep. It has nothing to do with congregation. It doesn't have nothing to do with boards and directors. It has absolutely everything to do with a pre-selection that God has. Can I get in your neighborhood? When God selects a man to be over you, it was not you that voted him in. It was God who had predetermined the outcome of every vote that would be cast. And what God is saying prophetically to a generation is that I'm over every house that is in my name. And when we look to him for direction and strength, the Lord is moving that church into a unique position with him. But before we begin to talk about this anointed man called David, who would become king, there were some giants that appeared in his life that David had encountered and that David had to deal with. Scripture tells us, after Saul's continued rebellion, Saul, who was king, against the Lord, he rebelled against the authority and the words and the Lord, God, and everything that the Lord had sanctioned and given to him. His rebellion led to a rejection of the Lord. The prophet Samuel was commissioned to seek out one who would succeed Saul on the throne of Israel. And when God sees a nation and a people who rejects him, God looks at that nation in an unusual way. But God is still approving a nation and a people. For a people is greater than a nation. For the house who are called believers are greater than the building. You'll catch that. One had already been identified, my brothers and sisters, according to scripture, as a man after God's own heart. Who was that? That was David. And it would be the one of Saul's neighbors who was better than Saul. So God knew the heart, the conscience, and the character of the man. It doesn't matter who stands here. What does matter is what God puts here. And he would be preordained or predetermined to be what God called him to be, how he called him to act, and what he would call him to do. For David had been chosen from eternity past. Men had been chosen from eternity past to stand where we are, say what we say, and do what we say we are doing. Eternity past to rule over a nation, or to rule over a body, or to rule over a house. We are told how the rejection of Saul did not force the Lord to a new course of action, but rather God's action followed his all-knowing plan in such a way as to use Saul's disobedience and continue to implement his higher plan. And what it tells us is that even though we don't understand, God is still working things out. Pastor, I don't see it. You have never been told to see what God is up to. If God is a spirit, you don't see him, but you see what he's up to. And what the Lord is simply saying, you will never see what I'm up to until the realization of it comes into fruition. You don't know what God is doing right before your very eyes. My words are not seen, but they are impactful, because it impacts the heart and the conscience of a people who would hear, for not all will hear. My brothers and sisters, God had permitted the Israelites to have a king of their choice, because they wanted to be like other nations who had kings. But God said, let them have their king, but their king wouldn't be what I desire for them to have, but I will let them have what they want to be like other nations. But the problem we have, my brothers and sisters, is when God is left out of the equation, bad things happen. So the nation of Israel got their king. And when you get your king, something normally happens. So it says something, America, because God won't let me get away from this. When you start wrestling with God's divine plan because of our own free will, God will simply say, I will give you your king, but you better be able to deal with the results of the choices that you make. So I speak prophetically to a nation, watch what you do. If God is left out of it, your nation will crumble under the aristocracy of a ruler who will not obey God Almighty. My brothers and sisters, in choosing a king and the obvious mistakes that had been made, God demonstrated his knowledge and his wisdom in raising up a king who would come in the fulfillment of his perfect will. God says, you can do all you want. If it's outside of my will, it is not perfect. But if it's in my will, it will be perfect. But whenever God's plan is being enacted, there are other giants trying to alter or to stop God's plan. So let's look at 1 Samuel 17, verses 1 through about 22. The historical text.
Thank you for tuning in to Paradise Ministry. We pray something said today has encouraged you in your personal relationship with the Lord. If you would like to have a copy of this message, you can email us at antiochmathis@bellsouth.net, or you can send a love offering of $8 to Paradise Ministry, P.O. Box 281, Woodworth, Louisiana, 71485. As always, we hope to see you in church.
The Unstoppable Wade Hampton Show.